Well, I'm delighted to be here, and I call your attention this morning to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. So John 14, if you would turn there at this time. And Father, even as we turn in our Bibles to this passage, we turn our eyes unto you, asking that you would do, Lord, what only you can, cause this passage, your word, to come alive in our hearts and applied to each of our situations. Father, I thank you for this church, for the impact and the influence that it has had, the work that you've done through this ministry. Father, we marvel at the lives that have been touched and the souls that have been won. And we pray, Lord, that as a congregation, as a church, as a family, that we might go deeper, even as we sang, and be taken further, Lord, day by day, week by week, that, Lord, when issues, trials, difficulties come our way, that it wouldn't throw us for a loop or set us back or knock us out. But that, Lord, through these things, that we might experience your power and that people might see your reality. So bless my sisters and brothers as we consider this text together. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you want to show us and say to us in this hour. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had something hit you from seemingly out of the blue? Something which sort of rocked your boat a bit, or utterly demolished your day? Well, these Japanese sailors certainly did. This was in the newspapers around the world a couple of years ago from Reuters News Service. Earlier this year, a dazed crew of a Japanese trawler was plucked out of the Sea of Japan, clinging to the wreckage of their sunken ship. The rescue, however, was followed by immediate imprisonment once the authorities questioned the sailors on the ship's loss. For the sailors claimed that a cow falling out of the clear blue sky had struck the trawler midship, shattering its hull and sinking the trawler within minutes. The sailors remained in prison for several weeks, the authorities not accepting their story, until the Russian Air Force reluctantly informed the Japanese authorities that the crew of one of its cargo planes had stolen a cow who wandered onto an airfield in Siberia, forcing that cow into the plane's cargo hold. But the cow was rampaging within the cargo hold, so they shoved the cow out at 30,000 feet over the Sea of Japan. This story is truly, utterly amazing. I mean, my oh my, a cow comes crashing down out of the sky, sinks the ship, demolishes that boat, and hey, probably that's not going to happen to you or me, a cow falling on our heads, but it will truly come to pass one day, or maybe in these days. Maybe you're experiencing already some piece of information that has been brought to you, or some situation that you find yourself in presently that's hit you like a ton of bricks, came out of the clear blue, and you have that sinking feeling inside, that sickening sense of how could this be? What's coming down? What's going on? Well, what do we do when those things come our way, as they inevitably will today tomorrow or next month or next year. Inevitably, each of us here will go through this season or those times when things seem to be falling apart and coming down. But hey, the Lord told us concisely, clearly, straightforwardly what we ought to do when things are coming down, falling apart, when things hit us hard from out of the clear blue. You see, in John chapter 13, Jesus had just informed the disciples that one of them was going to betray him. He had just told the disciples that another of them, Peter, one of the leaders in that group, would end up denying Jesus not once or twice, but three times. And then he also said to them that he was going and that they could not right then follow after him. That hit those guys like a ton of bricks, like a cow falling from the sky. I mean, their boat was rocking and their souls were sinking. They were troubled, obviously. How could this be? Jesus is going someplace where we cannot follow him right now? That one of us is going to betray him? And Peter, that great big lovable fisherman, is going to deny him? How could these things be? And in that upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper with those disciples and then gave him this information in John chapter 13, Jesus went on to say, now here's what you're to do. In light of what just hit you, your world falling apart, heavy things coming down, difficulties taking place, here's what you're to do in light of that. And I think he said that with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye when he said to those guys, even as he says to you and me, Chapter 14, verse 1, look at it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Even though everything is seemingly falling apart and everything is seemingly coming down, hey, let not your heart be troubled. Which is interesting because the structure of the language in the Greek is very emphatic, and that is, let not your heart be troubled is a choice that you, that me, that we can make. A choice that's up to us whether we will let our hearts be troubled or whether we will choose to not let our hearts be troubled. It's up to us. And Jesus looked at them, even as he would say to you and me today, hey, choose to let not your heart be troubled. Now, he wasn't saying simply toughen up or buck up or chin up or don't worry, be happy. He was saying this, you see, in a rational, logical way, because he was going to then explain why they shouldn't, on that seemingly devastating day, let their hearts be troubled. Four things I want you to take note of, perhaps jot down, certainly pray in, to be aware of. Four things why Jesus would tell them and tell you and tell me as well, hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. Choose to not be troubled no matter what's going on, no matter what's coming down, no matter what's taking place. Why? Because he says, let not your heart be troubled, number one, because we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of heaven. He says, in my Father's house, verse 2, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let not your heart be troubled, because I'm going to prepare a place for you, Jesus said to those boys on that day and to us on this day too. Heaven. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. No matter what's coming down, hey, we're going up. No matter what's taking place, he's gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Hey, I just came back from Alaska last night. We were on a cruise, and the mountains are majestic, and the glaciers are awesome, and the air is fresh and clear, and the trees are everywhere. It's a great place. But Alaska is a dump in comparison to where we're going, to heaven. We're going to heaven. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love him. That's you. That's me too. He's preparing a place for us. You see, the things in this world that intrigue us, that interest us, that draw us, are really only sneak previews of coming attractions, shadows of what's to come. We see there in Alaska, you know, the glory of these majestic glaciers and the splendor of the trees and the whales and all the rest. And you say, hey, I've got to own this. I've got to buy a cabin up here so I can come up here a lot and hang out, you know, and enjoy this. So you buy your cabin up there, only to find that the pipes freeze and the water is flowing everywhere and the furniture is ruined and the carpet's got to be replaced. It's not what you thought. You thought, hey, I'll have my heaven on earth with my little Alaska cabin. Surprise, when the bears break in and gobble you up, or whatever it might be. It's not what you thought. We walk on the beach and we look at the sunset and we say, oh my, look at the glorious colors. Oh wow, as the sun is setting over the sea. And we think, I've got to have a beach house. So you get the beach house. We buy the beach house, only to find it seemed to be heaven until the tax bill came in, until thieves broke in, whatever it might be. And we say, this isn't what I thought. You know why? Because the sunset at the beach, the glaciers in Alaska, the Beethoven symphony, whatever it is that draws you, draws me, draws us. You see, it's simply a sneak preview of what is coming in eternity in heaven. That's simply a shadow of what is going to be totally fulfilling and satiating when we get there. The key is to realize they're just pointers. I had this dog for years named Sam. Great dog. Fine pet. He was a white German shepherd. And he was a wonderful dog, but he was real dumb. Sam, bless his heart, I would fix his dinner putting in Alpo, a couple of cans of Alpo, you know, the meat with the sauce in a big white bowl, place it there by his doghouse, call for Sam. He would come racing from around the corner. Sam, dinner time, over there, as I pointed my finger towards the bowl where the Alpo was. And this dog, who was hungry, who liked to eat, this dog heard that, saw my finger, and sniffed my finger and licked my finger. He was all caught up in my finger. And yet it wouldn't feed him or satisfy him. It was simply pointing to where the food was, you see. But he was all intrigued by the finger, until finally I would take him by the collar and put his head in the bowl. And then he figured out that's what he was desiring. How about us? See, we see this or hear that and say, oh, awesome. I got to own that or have that. It's just the finger, you see. And we get all intrigued by the finger. And we're licking the finger and sniffing the finger, when in reality, what you and I are craving is heaven, where those things are going to be fulfilled perfectly. Now, a person who lives that way, my goodness, he, she, they can be the happiest people on the face of the planet. Because you take a whole lot more things on earth a whole lot less seriously. That is, you're not trying to find it here because you know it's waiting for you there. You can pass through as pilgrims, truly being carefree, letting not your heart becoming troubled, because, hey, we're just passing through. Kind of like Rabbi Weizerman there in Jerusalem years ago. The famous rabbi lived a very Spartan-like life with a little apartment there in Jerusalem. He was visited by some visitors from the States who came in, looked around, and said, "My rabbi, we see your chair and desk over there and a little bed over here, but the rest of your apartment is empty. Where's your furniture?" And the rabbi looked at this visitor and said, "Well, where's your furniture?" And the visitor said, "Well, I don't live here. I'm just passing through Jerusalem." The rabbi said, "Me too." That's the reality, see. We're just passing through. We don't need to be bogged down and tied up with the furniture of this world, you see. We're passing through. We don't have to be troubled by anything ever. We are the freest people of all. When you live that way, if I live that way, we not only will be rewarded in heaven, having our treasures set there and our focus on that, but we'll enjoy the world in a way that we otherwise never would, taking it a whole lot less seriously and only focusing on the things of the kingdom and eternity. So Jesus said to his boys, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? Because number one, you have the hope of heaven. You're passing through. Number two, not only do we have the hope of heaven, but secondly, we know the nature of the Father. Look at verse 7. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us." Jesus saith unto Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." See, when things are coming down, when things are taking place that we don't understand, there can be a tendency to wonder, what kind of God is he that would allow this or not protect me from that? We wonder, who is God? What is God? Philip would say, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." Hey, the shamans, the gurus, religions, hucksters, philosophies all propagate their view of who God is. Is God the God of the Canaanites? Cruel, as they burned their babies on the incandescent arms of the little statues of Moloch? Is that who God is? Cruel? Is God the God of the Greeks? Silly and fickle, as the Greek gods of mythology would be, playing games with people, having fun at the expense of people. Is that who God is? Is God angry, like the Polynesian god Pele, who has to be satisfied by human sacrifice, you see? Who is God? "Show us the Father, show us," Philip said to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long? Don't you yet understand that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father? Now I know." When things are coming down, when things are taking place that I might not understand initially, wait a second, I do know the nature of the Father. What do you mean? You look at the Son. I and the Father are one. I see Jesus, who was weeping at the tomb of Lazarus compassionately before he called Lazarus back from the dead and gave him life again. I see Jesus touching the leper, touching the skin of that devastatingly diseased one, risking in human terms contamination, but he would reach out and touch him compassionately. I see Jesus feeding the hungry, concerned about their physical condition, and he then fed them miraculously. I see Jesus coming out to the disciples when the storms are raging and speaking to the wind and calming the sea. I see Jesus showing mercy, showing kindness, showing compassion. He's good in every situation, healing all that came to him, having time for any who inquired of him. He's just plain old, flat out, downright good. Now, Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. So when things are coming down, I know God is not the God of the Greek mythologies playing tricks on me, or a God who's angry like Pele, you see. I look at Jesus. I know the nature of the Father. I don't have to be confused like people are today. So many people saying so many things about God, so confused concerning their understanding of God, like my boy Benjamin. When he was in first grade playing on his soccer team, he was a really good soccer player. And he was the scorer, the main scorer for the team. And so in that game there, watching it on that Saturday afternoon, he took the ball and took it right down to the goal and drove it right through, scored the first goal. And everybody clapped and was happy, and I was proud, you see. But then all of a sudden, he was running in the wrong direction, going in the opposite way he was supposed to. And I would call out, Benny, get back, get back. And he was kind of spinning in circles and somewhat confused. And then he got back on track and played really well and scored goal number two. But then he got confused again, disoriented once more, and was in the wrong place totally. This went on all game long until the third quarter. I figured out what was happening. It hit me. I saw it. I understood. On the other sideline, across the field, the opposing team's coach also had a player named Benny. So he was calling out to his Benny, Benny, back up. And my Ben would back up, you see. And then we would say, Benny, go forward. And he would go forward, but then he would back up. And he was just tossed to and fro and completely disoriented. So I called him over to the sideline. Benny, 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 listen to me. That guy over there that's calling you, don't listen to him. He's not talking to you, Benny. He's talking to another Benny. Don't listen to him. And Benny said, oh, whew, thank goodness I was getting exhausted out there. Oh, my. And that's the way it can be. I'm exhausted trying to figure out this or figure out that concerning what others are saying who God is. But then Jesus comes on the scene and says, believe me, the works that I do, the resurrection that will take place ultimately, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. Now I don't have to be troubled when days of difficulty come my way, because I know the nature of the Father. I have the hope of heaven, number one. I'm going to heaven. I know the nature of the Father. It's revealed in the Son. He's kind and compassionate and good and tender and cares for everyone. Number three, not only having the hope of heaven and knowing the nature of the Father, but we've got the privilege of prayer. He goes on to say in verse 12, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. We've got the privilege of prayer when times are tough, when days are dark. Hey, we get to pray. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, according to my nature, in harmony with my heart, I will do it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. As I carry those burdens to my Lord, he says, I will answer. Now, it's true. This is why I tell people that we need to keep a prayer journal or some kind of notes occasionally to keep in mind what we've prayed for previously. What do you mean? We talk to the Lord, don't we? Oh, Lord, work in me a greater dependency on you. Help me, Lord, to not be ensnared by the things of the world. Help me to be close to you, depending on you, free from the things of the world, you see. We pray that prayer sincerely. Well, then, a month later, the boss announces he's giving raises to 90% of the employees. And so we pray, oh, Lord, may I be one of those that gets a raise. And when the raises are passed out, my name, your name, isn't on the list. And we say, what's that? Lord, I prayed that I would get the raise. I prayed that I would be. Well, the Lord says, yeah, but you prayed a month ago that you would be depending on me, humble, not caught up in material things. I'm answering that prayer first, you see. And sometimes I think we forget what we pray. But the Lord says, hey, when you ask in my name, I don't forget. And I will work in such ways to blow your mind and see you through. Hey, he answers all the prayers that we pray in his name. He's promised to. Story is told of that guy that died and went to heaven. And he was given a tour of heaven by an angel. On the tour, they went into a large warehouse. In the warehouse were countless boxes and packages wrapped up with addresses on them. And the fellow said, tell me, all these packages, man, there's multiplied billions of packages. What are these? The angel said, well, these are blessings that the Father had boxed up and were ready to go, but they were never asked for. So they stayed here in store. I wonder how many blessings, how much we could be enjoying, how much we could be experiencing and having. But the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Hey, pray. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. We've got the privilege of prayer. Ask me and I'll do it. Test me and you'll see. Because you know the nature of the Father. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you know what the Father's like. He's not cruel or angry or distant. Look at me and you've seen the Father. Because we have the hope of heaven. You're going to heaven. You're just passing through. Life is short. And you'll be in the place that I'm preparing for you. And the fourth and final thing that Jesus said in this text concerning why they shouldn't have troubled hearts. Don't let your heart be troubled. Not just we have the hope of heaven, we know the nature of the Father, we've got the privilege of prayer, but finally we enjoy the comfort of the Spirit. He said, if you love me, verse 15, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We enjoy the comfort of the Spirit. Another comforter. You see, Jesus was quite a comfort to those disciples in previous days. Man, if the seas got rough, he could calm the seas with a single word. If they were hungry, he could provide food miraculously. Whatever the need was, he was there. He was a tremendous comfort for them. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. In these difficult days, don't let your heart be troubled because another comforter is on the way. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus, as the New Testament designates him. It's Jesus in us, the Spirit. We enjoy the Spirit of the Lord giving comfort to our souls. It's true. I can recall sitting there on my couch Saturday night around midnight. It was that first weekend after my first wife had been taken to heaven. And I tucked in the three kids and I sat on the couch and I just found myself weeping And I said, why, Lord? Not why with a clenched fist, but just why? And the Lord spoke to my heart in a way that I'll never forget. A very real word was spoken to me. On that evening, I was going to be sharing, preaching, teaching the next day. And the Lord spoke in a very clear way and said, Johnny, I've promised you a peace that passes understanding. It's true. The Bible promises me and you a peace, casting all your cares upon him, receiving a peace from him that passes understanding. Johnny, I've given you a peace that passes understanding. And I said, yes, Lord, you have. So he said, then never seek a peace that comes from understanding. I've given you a peace that passes understanding. So never seek a peace that comes from understanding. What do you mean? Simply this. If the Lord gave us a peace that comes from understanding why things are taking place or why things are coming down, you know what we would do? We would debate with him and argue with him. We would go on and on saying, yeah, but, or how come, or why not, or what about? The Lord says, I'm just going to bypass your puny brain, Johnny, and I'm going to give you a peace that passes understanding, that'll keep your heart and your mind focused on and centered in Christ Jesus. A peace that passes understanding, and it's true. And I was able to share that next day, Sunday, that first week, the truth that the Lord gives us a peace that passes understanding, not that comes from understanding. I can't explain why certain things happen or certain things don't, but he gives me a comfort that is undeniable. He gives you a comfort that is so real. He comforts us in a way that passes understanding. The question is, will I allow him to? Or will I want to receive sympathy from people? Will I want to draw sympathy from folks? Or will I say, no, Lord, you're going to comfort me? Because as wonderful as people might be in showing sympathy, they'll be sympathetic, but they'll go their way and I'm still stuck. Lord, I want comfort from you, you see. That's the key. He's promised it, he'll give it. Well, 10 years ago when my daughter, Jessica, was taken to heaven, Tambo and myself, my wife and I, we both experienced the same thing once again. She was taken to heaven at 16, but we just had this peace that passed understanding. We miss her greatly. We think about her all the time, and yet we're delighted that she's there. She's the bride of Christ. She's at his side. She's enjoying herself in ways that we can't understand. But the Lord gave us, even in that moment, at that time, a peace. It's beyond understanding, you see. Somebody that didn't know the Lord said to my wife and I, you know, you guys need therapy. You're just in shock. You're in denial, you see. Well, the reality, it's been 10 years and the shock is still working. I'll tell you that. It's the comfort of the Holy Spirit in reality. My precious friends, listen to me. I know that things are going to hit you, hit us, hit me from out of the blue from time to time. But I also have discovered, and so have you, the words of Jesus apply to us. We don't have to let our hearts be troubled. Because we have the hope of heaven. We're out of here. We're passing through. We're going home. This is the worst it's ever going to be. It's all uphill. It's all going to get better. We're going to heaven. If you're not a Christian, listen, this is the best it's ever going to be for you. It's all down into the depths of hell in reality. This is your day to say, I want to truly be a citizen of heaven, part of his eternal kingdom, and you can. Hey, we have the hope of heaven. We know the nature of the Father. God is good. We see it in the Son. We've got the privilege of prayer. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. You have not because you ask not. He'll meet you in those days of difficulty. I guarantee. We enjoy the comfort of the Spirit. He comforts us in a way that no person on earth ever could or can. He comforts you and me. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Keep the hope of heaven before you. and allow the Holy Ghost to give comfort to you. And he'll see you through no matter what's coming down. You watch. You wait. You'll see. Let's pray, shall we? Father, for the words of Jesus, we give you thanks. But not just for the theory of it or the theology that's in it, but the reality that we know that we're going to heaven because of the gift of salvation and the work that was done on the cross. I thank you for that tremendous work that you did for us, Jesus. And we know, Lord, that your Spirit is with us and that you have not left us comfortless. And I would pray this morning right here for this service, this part of the family, that if there be those, Lord, that right now perhaps are feeling burdened or troubled, that truly we would cast those cares upon you, talk things over with you, and receive that comfort from you. So, Lord, we hear your word. We embrace and receive right now. We choose to go our way rejoicing too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your truths, for your Spirit, for your presence with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, John, for words of comfort in a troubled world. Shall we stand? Maybe today your heart is troubled. Maybe you're facing pressures that you're not up to. Maybe it seems like things are just coming down on you. And you'd like help. The pastors are down here at the front. They're here to help you. They're here to pray for you. They're here to help you find the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the strength that he wants to give to you today. Let not your heart be troubled. God is on the throne. He loves you, and he'll take care of your needs. You have the privilege of prayer. You can call upon him, and these men will call upon the Lord with you and for you. So I would encourage you, as we're dismissed, make your way forward. Come on down, and as the scripture said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And don't be worried about anything, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace will keep your heart, your mind. So help is here. And as John was sharing, let not your heart be troubled is a choice. It's a choice that the Lord gives you. You don't have to have a troubled heart over the conditions that you're going through. You can have his peace for your troubled heart. And I would encourage you, receive it before you go. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.